What is a...
Oh, you just had a huge yawn. I was a right mid yawn when you started to talk. Try it again. I'll try not to yawn.
No, I was going to ask you because I don't really know what I see a lot of it in the news. I don't know if you've been reading the news.
I can't stop yawning. One more. Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Go
all
ahead.
All right. I'm not sure I know what a snowflake means. Everyone's being called snowflakes. What is it? Why?
I've not heard this.
You haven't heard that?
It's the first time I'm hearing it.
Snowflake?
Right now. First time.
No. So I figured is it because of the whole generation? Is it because... Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Forget about it. Move on. Hello and welcome to episode 345 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam in Vancouver.
How is Vancouver, Adam?
It's a little bit smoky.
That's what I hear. Very smoky. Is it smog? Is it forest fires? What's going on?
It's forest fires. It's sort of... They're hours away, but I guess just... The way the winds blow, it's making its way to Vancouver. So the last few days have been, you can definitely sort of see it. You can sometimes feel like you can taste it a little bit. So considering we are quite a ways from the fires, there are a lot of air quality warnings. Here, it's still pretty mild, but in places closer to the fires, like Kamloops, for example, has huge air quality warnings. Like it's... I don't know what the units of measurement are, but they talk about, okay, when an air quality gets to a 10, that's really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So, and they used to not even have a system that rated above 10. It was 10 plus. If it was more than 10. They're
right.
talking
11.
About...
Ours go to 11.
They're talking about an air quality in Kamloops of being in the 40s. So...
That's downtown Beijing.
I have a patient who I spoke to yesterday who he works in air quality. This is what he does, and so he was explaining all this to me. That's why this is fresh in my mind.
He's doing a poor job, man.
So he was basically saying, like, he didn't even know, and he works in air quality, that they had a rating system that went to the 40s. He's like, this is insane what is going on as far as the air quality. Because of a number of forest fires that are have been going now for quite some time, so I would not want to live in Kamloops right now. So I think ours is. I think he said yesterday ours was something like a 7. So which
out
is
of 10,
which is really bad for Vancouver, but not like 40 something. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, sorry I asked, man.
Yeah, so again...
Is it hot there, though? Is that what's going on?
It would be much hotter if not for the haze. The haze is definitely keeping the heat down. I think they were saying, like, the heat is getting into the low 30s up in the Fraser Valley, like a little bit inland. And in Vancouver, it's kind of been mid-20s, so it really hasn't... But it was expected to be over 30 in Vancouver this week. They're talking 33, 34 this week. But if not for the haze, it's actually kept the temperature down. Richmond's been... pretty comfortable outside of the little haze that's been here the last 4 or 5 days. So I'm hoping it all clears away soon, because it's been nothing but phenomenal in Vancouver for the last couple of weeks.
Nice. This is a great time. This for anyone who's still listening after the forest fire lecture.
Yeah.
If you are planning on traveling to Vancouver, A, you can stay at Adam's house, and B, from now, August and September are just the absolute wheelhouse, I think, of when you want to be there, weather-wise.
Yes. No.
Normally. Not counting the forest fires.
Yeah, not counting the forest fires, this has been the craziest, awesomest stretch of weather that I can remember in Vancouver.
See, that's because you're getting old, because the summers that we've been back, it hasn't been in a couple of years, but leading, like, the last few summers that we were there... It was amazing. Like, there was that one year we were there for 90 days straight. I know that because my wife has a 90-day visa. And it did not rain one day.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, it's been sort of like that in Vancouver. Everyone talks about, you know, how much it rains, but I can't remember the last day with rain. And it's rained so little in the last month that, again, all the talk is about we need rain, you know, because we want to make the grass green and the flowers look pretty. So it's a lack of rain that is being complained about. And also,
as Axl Rose said that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that song playing quite a bit on the radio lately. So that's kind of a unique reference that you made. But I think with the fires in particular, people starting to beg for rain to hopefully help the firefighters out a bit.
Right. Okay. Well, that'll be October. Sorry,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Been kind of mild here, so kind of blah.
Great.
But, you know, if you need, you know, an air quality measuring device, as we call it, an AQMD, if you need one of those,
yeah,
look on Amazon. That's where I would pick mine up.
Okay.
So tell your buddy, tell your patient who works in the air quality, if they need a new one, click through our site, help us out.
I've been considering a new purchase. I've been humming and hawing about a new purchase. Haven't pulled the trigger yet, but
I just bought something. Maybe it's the same thing.
Maybe. It would be pretty odd coincidence if it was.
Okay, you go first.
We haven't talked about it at all, but I talked about it a year or two or more back, but I really want to buy like a big beauty dish.
Yeah, that's not what I bought. I bought an ugly dish.
Okay, all right. You bought a not beautiful dish. But yeah, it's kind of inspired by the book, the Gregory Heisler 50 Portraits book that I raved about last week. Is, you know, he talks about different setups and what he uses. And I've long wanted a beauty dish, but just one of those things. I'm like, do I need another light modifier? I've got a closet full of light modifiers. And just listening to his description of a couple of the lighting setups, and then he talks very fondly, I can't remember which portrait it was, about the lighting setup that he uses, and calls it the perfect light. It was kind of a combo of a beauty dish with a ring light. And and I mean, I'm not interested in the ring light, not at this point. I could makeshift a ring light if I really wanted that, but I really like the look of a beauty dish and sort of the different ways that you can play with it. So anyway, so I think that's going to be my next purchase. I was looking a bit on Craigslist to see if there was anything, but I have the Alien Bee, so it gets very specific in terms of what I need. I want to use it with the Alien Bee light, so I need to make sure it has a mount for that. And and so I'll probably just buy one new on Amazon. There's different ones out there that are made for with the Alien Bee's mount.
Price wise, pretty reasonable now.
Yeah, they're $100 to $150. There's a few higher end ones that I don't know why, but they cost, you know, $300. Like, I think it's Mola. I don't know how to pronounce it or whatever. They make kind of the high end beauty dishes. I'm not buying one of those. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to beat the heck out of this thing, and so I'm pretty sure if it has a few dings in it, it'll work just fine. And just not sure whether I would buy the one that has the white finish on it or the silver finish. Thought I'd ask your opinion on that.
Ooh, that's a good call. I probably silver. I think I don't know. Maybe it's just because like the more the power, more output, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it gives you definitely more, but then I'm thinking, like, I don't know, like I don't know enough about, you know, the difference between the two. I think the output would for sure be one, and probably get a little bit more contrast, based off, cause it's a bounce light, right? Based off of the light coming out of the silver, just because the intensity is going to be a lot greater off the bounce than it would be from the white. But you could probably, you know, rectify that with just increasing the power on the studio strobe anyway. So
right, with the studio strobe, you have power to burn. So
yeah. So that's why I thought maybe the white. And then some of them come, like, so a lot of them come with like a diffuser sort of sock that you can use. And then some of them come also with a grid. And I think I'm going to shell out the extra money and go for one that also has the grid, because I could really see, you know, having that extra control on the light being a big plus. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably going to be the cincher for me, is which one I can get for the Alien Bee that also comes with an included grid.
All right. Can you doesn't Paul Buff make one?
He does, but the shipping and the US right now, all of that's a gigantic hassle.
Right.
So I probably will buy one off of Amazon that's just made or it's just suited for the Alien Bees. The one he makes is a relatively cheap one anyway, so I don't think it's anything special. I haven't heard any raving reviews about it. It seems like it's all right. It's a piece of metal. It's painted, it's coated, and that's it, right? Like, there's not much to it. I don't need the working part. So I probably won't buy the Paul Buff one because their shipping is a giant pain in the butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So my purchase, I entered 2008 and bought a Wi-Fi laser printer.
Nice.
Is it? It's cool. It actually is cool. I have to tell you, you know what laser printers cost?
I have
one. Which laser one do you have? Made by who?
Who's it made by? It's just made by Hewlett Packard.
Okay, mine is the brother made this one. I just did a quick search online, you know, of reviews, and honestly, I made the call in under 60 seconds. I was like, all right, I want this price range, and then I want this functionality, which is very little, just no color. I don't need color.
That's the same as mine. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be Wi-Fi. I want to have Wi-Fi. I don't want to have to hook it up to anything.
Yeah.
And I just want to run with it and go. And price point was, it's about $100.
Like, yeah.
Crazy cheap. The cartridges are around $12 or something like that to replace.
The cartridges that for mine was much more expensive than that. It was like $40, but they last forever. Like it
feels, that's the thing.
It lasts forever. Mine came with like a sample, like a smaller size cartridge.
That's their move, yeah.
And that lasted for about 2 years. Right. And then I just put maybe the new cartridge in about 3 months ago. It'll last until the end of time. Like,
I don't need to print anymore.
I don't print, exactly. I don't print that much, but I hated dealing with ink when most of the time printing documents stuff. And yeah. This is amazing. I love it. Yeah.
Well, I bought a inkjet printer when I first moved over here. Because I was still basically distributing things on DVD
right.
at the time. And so I would do printable DVDs, and so my inkjet, you know, printer would handle printing on DVDs, which is very cool.
I did that as well, yeah.
Yeah, what a complete waste of my time. Not really. For that 21 months, it was cool. But, you know, we're past that now. You know, YouTube sort of fixed that problem.
Right.
And so... Anyway, but it still worked, and so you get all the ink cartridges, and they try to make it seem like, oh yeah, if you buy them individually, you only have to replace the certain ones, which is nonsense because I ran out of yellow, but I'm trying to print a black and white document on this thing, and it says, no, man, you're out of yellow. So yeah, but I can see there's so much black in there. I have two different black cartridges, and they're both full.
Yeah.
So go ahead and print the black. Nah, man, yellow.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I've had enough of this, and then finally that printer, that was a Canon, that one kind of went. It was like a 4200, it was IP, whatever it's called, and it went, it just broke, it just stopped working. And I said, all right, well, I still have this ink, but who cares? A little bit of ink left. I said, I'm done with these inkjet printers. I hate them. I hate the ink sprays everywhere. It's just a massive hassle.
Yep, I had the exact same experience.
And then. Marquardt had a 4300 that he no longer wanted, and so he gave it to me, and it worked fine. And so I said, "Oh, just when I think I'm out, they keep pulling me back in."
Yeah,
but it was free printer, and he had a bunch of ink too, and so I used that, and then you know how that goes. Eventually, it just broke about a month ago. You know, and I stopped printing photos at home because of the hassle. I just cannot stand it.
Yeah.
And so finally it broke all together, and so my wife has, you know, she prints stuff for school and all that. And I said, I'm buying one of these. I'm pulling the trigger. And it's pretty awesome, I got to admit, even though it's, you know, how everyone's had one for 10 years probably.
Yeah.
I love it. Hooked it up in a matter of minutes, had the Wi-Fi going. You never have to turn it on. It just knows how to sleep.
Yep.
And I can print directly from the iPad, iPod, iPhone if you want. Like just air print without having to install anything.
Yeah, it's great. And
love it.
It prints, I don't know, yours is probably even faster because mine's 2 years old now. But it, like, literally by the time I press print, the thing's coming out in about 1.5 seconds. Like, it is so
once it wakes
fast.
Up, yes.
Yeah. It's just like instantaneous. Like, with inkjet, it just seems like it's slow.
Even why are you warming up still?
Well, and just the printing process itself, even on fast, it has to go back and forth versus this just, the paper just slides out and it's done, right?
I assume it just creates a giant stamp and just stamps your words on the page. I don't even know how it works.
I don't know either, but it's super awesome. But yeah, it's funny that this has never come up, but 100%, all the same experience. I've had it, loved it. Everyone who prints anything at home should have one. It's great for printing, like my kids, if I want to keep them entertained for, you know, I don't know, 15 minutes, they'll ask, you know, like they want a coloring page. And so whatever it is, instead of buying coloring books anymore, I'll just be like, okay, well, what do you want to have a coloring page of? And they'll give me something and then I'll basically type it in, coloring, whatever, Pokemon guy that Jack wants to color, I'll type it in and then boom, done. In under a minute, they've got their 15 minutes of coloring that can occupy them while I do something.
Much like a cordless drill, I don't know how I lived so long without this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I don't, you know, I debated us. I talked to my wife and I said, well, you don't print that much. I mean, she prints stuff, but not a ton. I said, you know, I'm sure there's a printing place in town where, you know, you could basically, you know, email it to them. They print it as probably 10 cents a page. You could pick it up on the way to work. Who wants that hassle?
Mm-hmm.
So it's for $100. We'll just avoid that, and then I can print boarding passes that don't even belong to me. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah,
you know, it's great. So for $100, delivered to the house for free. By the way,
there you go.
How do you go wrong with that? So that's what I got on Amazon.
Great.
Point being, I can't believe that's as far as we've gotten into the show is
Amazon. Is that. Hey, yeah. did you check on Amazon if anybody bought the Gregor Lee Heisler book?
Oh, I haven't checked yet. I'll do that for next week.
Okay, 1,000 copies sold.
So real quick, get this out of the way. We talked off the air already. I'm going to give you the quick knee update. Very quick.
Okay,
everything's fine. All right. Got the MRI. Did not play. First of all, on the Saturday, we had the game on Saturday. I was going to play. I was going to defy the doctor's orders.
Right.
And I thought, I'll wrap it, you know?
Yeah.
A little duct tape will sort it out.
Sure.
And then you said, no, don't do it.
Right.
And that was pre-MRI. We didn't know what was wrong, and so I didn't play, and it worked out fine. We won both games, so that was fine. But then I went. You said if you can get an MRI, get an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
And I could. I could get an MRI. So we phoned our friends, the doctor, Tuesday morning. Got me in that afternoon, and then got it all checked out. And no tears. I'm sure everyone will be happy to hear. No tears
Great.
Of ligaments.
Yeah.
No tears of meniscus.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything's healthy. Just a little bit of swelling and a little bit of fluid maybe. And so just time, ice, and compression.
Okay. So you're basically a baby is what you're telling us.
I went the other way with it. After that happened, they're like, no, man, you're like Iron Man. You can't get hurt. We had another kid on our team, a 19-year-old kid who, you know, similar situation, and he completely snapped his ACL and tore all the cartilage off on the way down. And so he has at least probably a one-year rehab, whereas I'm made of iron.
You have OML, old man ligaments, like super, super sinewy, tough old man ligaments, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the technical term.
Okay, OML, yeah. Either way, it worked out for me. So okay. Anyways, also unrelated, got an email from one of our listeners, Joe.
Yeah?
Listener Joe, did you read it?
No.
It might have something to do with you. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you have something to weigh on it. But so Joe, I'm assuming it's Renee's brother. I never asked him. Joe, are you Renee's brother?
Hey, what's his last name?
Russo.
Oh, okay, for sure.
If you are, let me know. I've been a humongous fan of your sister for a long time, way back. But even I can't remember where Lethal Weapon 3. Maybe that was
Major League. Major League.
Oh, Major League. That's right. Way back. 1989's Major League. That's right. And then of course Get Shorty. The list goes on. But big fan. So have her call me. Joe, so thanks. But anyway, but Joe said, you know, he was at they had a company picnic or something like that, and they had a radar gun booth where you could go and throw a baseball and get clocked on the gun.
Yeah,
and so Joe said he's, you know, he was a competitive weightlifter,
mm-hmm.
so you know by no means not a weakling, I'm assuming, unless he came last all the time. But I'm guessing you don't get into that.
Okay.
If you can't. So, but he said, you know what his top time was? His top speed, sorry?
For what?
For throwing the, like, his fastball. They measure your fastball.
Okay.
And what did he top out at?
What did he, so I'm guessing because you're asking, it's either super fast or not really fast at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go with 75 miles an hour.
That being fast.
Yeah, that's fast. That's pretty fast. Yeah, that's pretty fast for an average guy who's not, you know, basically a real hardcore ball player.
I'm not sure I'd crack 75. I don't crack 75.
I think again, it's right now you probably wouldn't, but at, you know, 25, you probably would. But you wouldn't possibly do it 28 times. You'd probably be able to throw it that hard once or twice, and then your arm would feel like it's going to fall out of its socket.
Maybe. No, actually, it goes the other way. Like, because now, you know, if you play baseball, here's what I explained to Joe. His score was much lower than that, and he was a little surprised. And I said, well, you know, don't feel bad. You know, throwing a fastball is more about leverage than it is muscle. I mean, muscle's important, definitely. But guys with leverage and, like, you know, smaller guys with those old man sinewy ligaments, that goes a lot further than just strict muscle.
Okay.
Okay. It exists. I mean, that's why Clemens did, you know, allegedly rub that potion on his arm. But anyway, so he was much lower than that, but told him don't feel bad. But for guys like baseball players, if we go to the carnival and try that, mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to crack 60, because our arms are just so stiff that, you know, every practice and every game, we got to get out there and throw. We got to throw for 10 minutes before we can even throw 40 feet. So everything's so stiff that there's no way. And once you do long throwing and everything for like 20 minutes and stretch it out, then maybe. But if you kind of bring, you know, your mitt to the P&E and off the side doing some long toss, you look like kind of an idiot. So do that. So I think, honestly, if it was up, you know, if I did some long toss, I could probably hit 80 on those guns. However, you're throwing from like 15 feet away. You're not throwing from 60 feet like a major league mound. And the ball does slow down over 60 feet. And it also depends which kind of gun you're using. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But anyway, I just found it interesting. But I think he said he tweaked his shoulder, so he might call you.
Okay, great.
All right. So did you finish your Gregory Heisler? Before we get into the, you know, rest of the show, real quick, did you finish your book?
No, I'm halfway through. I've been doing, I think, like I said, I don't know if I said it or not, but two to three photos a day. So since we last talked, I think I was on 11 or 12 last time, and I think I'm on 25 or 26 now. So I've been basically every night before bed, I've been going through a couple, and I have spent a lot of time on the images. Like, I go back and forth. There's usually only a couple of pages of text. They're big pages, but a couple of pages of text to each image. But I just kind of, you know, I read it, I go back and look at the photo, and then I keep reading. And when I, you know, see an interesting detail, I go back and stare at the photo a little longer. And so, it's kind of a slow process, but I really, really have been studying the images and spending time. So I'm going mm-hmm. through it slowly, feeling like I'm learning a lot more that way. That's just kind of my personal experience. I don't know how you went about this.
I blew through it in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I think some people probably do that, but then you're inevitably going to go back and read it again if that's the case.
Yeah, no, I did not blow through it. I took my time because it's fantastic. And yeah. What I liked about it was that he doesn't share specifics like, hey, this light was, you know, 8 feet away at this angle and at this power, but he talks about technique, so you can kind of back it out and apply it to your own.
Yeah, and there is a technique explanation for every photo. It's sort of, he's got it sort of grouped into sections. So he talks a little bit about the story and the person and how the whole encounter was kind of, you know, where they were going and what his idea behind the photo was going in, and usually how it evolves. And then sometimes just a little bit of tidbits about, you know, what they talked about, or, you know, if this person was grumpy or not. And mm-hmm. then, And the amount of time that it was done in, whether it was something that he was there for a few hours or a few minutes. And then there's always a sort of a section of sort of thoughts on technique. And I really like reading that sort of thoughts on technique, because it always follows kind of, you know, here's kind of the setup, and then here's how the technique was applied, because it's going to change based on how much time did he have, what was the person like, and mm-hmm. so it's a really nice kind of look at sort of how someone who's really, really good at their craft does things. That, I mean, I think I was saying to Lisa, I thought, you know, if I was to kind of, you know, explain in one single sentence what my review for this book would be, is I would say it's photographer's crack. That's what this is. Like, you just,
yes,
you can relate, whether you're an amazing photographer or a complete novice, you can relate to so many things in so many ways, and it's going to make anybody better. So it just reads so well. It's all the stuff that you want to know and understand better. So it is crack for photographers. So
get it.
Yeah. And again, I'm just saying this not because I'm worried about any return on a big Amazon fortune here whatsoever. It is just, I wish I had bought this. I wish I had, you know, 10 different versions of this. I'm going to, again, explore more books in this realm, because it's so interesting and fun and it's inspiring. And so all that good stuff. So everyone should have this who's listening to the podcast.
Yes.
And I'm going to try to find other ones that we can maybe then recommend.
Well, I have another one to recommend that's not like this at all, really.
Okay.
It's actually, it's a different direction, but I love it. And I bought it a while ago, you know, not so much reading. I didn't read the beginning. It's an intro about a Vancouver photographer named Fred Herzog.
Okay.
Born in Stuttgart, oddly, and then moved to Vancouver like in the early 50s after the war. And he's pretty famous in Vancouver for documenting Vancouver in color in sort of the 60s, 70s, 80s. And he's still alive in Vancouver. But one of the books I have, what is it called? Modern Color by Fred Herzog. It is amazing. Like, the pictures are just outstanding. And you can buy them. You can buy a print, like I think a 12 by 18 print, limited to 20. It's going to cost you around $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's not going to cost me that. I'm not going to buy them. Sorry, Fred, not in the budget. But they're amazing. Like, his prints are like really fantastic.
Okay, so now from a standpoint of the book, like, is it a lot of talk about, you know, how the photos were made?
No,
see, because that's kind of to me, that's what makes it. I mean, just seeing the photos is great, but I could go online and look up Fred Herzog and just, you know, see a bunch of his images. So
yes,
why do I need the book?
You don't. I like the book. I don't like those sorts of things. I don't like the Kindle books. I've read half of one and I can't finish it. I can't stand it. To me, I'm that guy. I like it to exist in a print form.
Okay.
Hence the laser printer.
Yeah.
And you know, and so ultimately, like, the book wasn't very expensive, and I just kind of like to look through it. And it's a ton of photos in this book. And it is capturing sort of the. I also have a fascination with the zeitgeist, just of any given. Are you there? Did I hit pause?
No, I'm here.
Okay, I bumped something. I'm fascinated by the zeitgeist, and this is kind of what he did. This is probably for another show, actually, about the whole psychology behind his photos. But they capture a Vancouver, and not the Vancouver that you put on postcards necessarily, but sort of the Vancouver from that era, which no longer exists, which is kind of awesome. And I don't know that he thought about, hey, is this no longer going to exist in 20 years? So I better get this. I think it was just, you know, what he felt he wanted to shoot.
Right.
But point being, we'll talk about that book another time. I believe there's an exhibition at the Vancouver, I think it's at the Vancouver Art Gallery right now, until Labor Day, I think, all about Vancouver, photography in Vancouver, like photos of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's many photographers, and I think he's one of them featured. And so if I was there now, I won't be back before Labor Day. I would definitely go. So if something you want to think about, check it out.
Okay.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting now that we're half an hour in?
I did. I won't go into too much detail. I went with my kids. My wife had a girls' weekend last weekend, and so I took my kids to Vancouver Island to visit my parents in Victoria, just thinking, oh, let's do something other than trying to keep them occupied for, like, you know, 2.5 days at our house. I thought, oh, I'll take them to Victoria. There's a lot of novel things to do over there. And yeah, they like going on the ferry and all that. And so we've been so busy with July with all the baseball stuff, and that we have been occupied on weekends. So it's, that was over, and I thought, okay, let's do this. So we went to a place that was go-karts, mini golf, batting cages that they have in Victoria. Okay. So
where is that?
I don't remember. My dad was driving. I don't know that whole area. It was a good, I'd say, 30 minutes outside of Victoria, wherever it was.
Okay.
And it's really neat, really cool mini golf course. But they have go-karts, and the go-karts, they have most places where you go to ride go-karts, like, you have to be, you know, my daughter's now my daughter's now just tall enough. So she's 10. She's pretty tall, 10. Just this year, she hit the line where she could start to drive the go-karts. There's a place in Richmond. She's hit the line. But most places, there's no way they're going to let her drive a go-kart. This place has two tracks. So they have basically sort of the real big kind of, you know, track for, I think you have to be at least 16 to drive a kart by yourself. Okay. And then they have a kids track, like a small track, same cars. This is where it's kind of interesting. So same cars, they just pull the go-karts from the one track over to the other track, but a much smaller track and just, you know, fewer turns. It's just an easier route to take. And Jack, who is 8, is tall enough to ride. In fact, there was kids shorter than Jack and younger than Jack, because Jack's a pretty tall 8, who were allowed to drive on that track. So Jack's never driven a go-kart. Sarah had driven, you know, once or twice, previous, just earlier this year, because she's hit that mark. She went with a birthday party and went with us once. So the two of them in their own go-karts on this track, and I had my, you know, Sony RX100, and I thought, oh, I've got to take a little video of this. Like, who knows what's going to happen? Sarah's a novice driver, and Jack's never driven anything like this before, and it was pretty fun to watch. Like, Jack, I thought, was going to, like, at first he didn't even want to do it. I thought, oh, I'm not sure this is for him. And then once it started, was an absolute, like, aggressive demon on the track. Like, he was bumping and making moves in between people. And then Sarah basically upped her game. She's like, I'm not getting, you know, beat by my little brother who's never been in one of these things. So there were some good sequences. I might cut like a 15 second little segment and just post it, or we'll put it on. Can you do video? You can do video on Instagram, right?
Yes, you can.
But I'll maybe do a 15 little second clip, because there's a little window where they're trading paint, like, on a stretch back and forth, back and forth. And then Jack makes a really, really sweet move to cut in and behind and through two or three people to come around her and get by her. That's pretty awesome. So, my wife wasn't there, and I was texting her saying, maybe we got to sign Jack up for some driving, NASCAR driving camp, because this kid is fearless.
Oh, go F1, man.
He is fearless, and it's just a weird sort of, he's like, yeah. Afterwards, he came off, and I said, wow, that was pretty good, and, you know, you pretty much hit everybody out there, but, you know, found all kinds of holes and stuff. He's like, yeah, it was like I was seeing the holes, and I was just diving into those holes, and I said, how'd you know, like, what to do or anything? He's like, Dad, Mario Kart. I'm good at Mario Kart. Yeah.
Also, his aunt.
Yeah, that's true.
His aunt can go.
Some aggressive drivers in the family, but yes, I just thought it was funny, and so it was video, and then we hit the batting cage as well. Which, speaking of miles per hour, like I tried it at 60 miles per hour, the batting cage, and it's like the, you know, the yellow batting cage balls, and we have those at home, and we had even brought our own bat, because Jack, we had said we'll probably go to the batting cage, and he's like, I'm bringing my own bat. So he, and what I realized is that I haven't hit at batting cage at 60 miles an hour in quite some time. and it hurts if you don't hit that on the barrel at 60 miles an hour. Like I was, my hands were hurt. And the other thing I found was that you could control at this batting cage in particular, you could kind of adjust it for height. And no matter what I adjusted for height, it was always like at 60 miles an hour, the ball was rising. So every single time I kept making it lower and it would still end up, you know, like basically at my eyeballs by the time it got to me. But 60 miles an hour is fast too, which I don't remember it feeling that fast. Like I played baseball until I was about 17 and there's guys that, you know, could throw faster than 60 miles an hour back there.
Okay, but it's a little different. This pitching machine's different because they can put lights on all they want, like warning lights, but your timing gets thrown off.
Yeah,
you don't see the ball coming.
Yeah,
and the guy's pitching. Like when you're playing up to 17 in those sort of in those leagues, you'll face guys who legit throw 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would guess.
But
you
see them coming, so you can get your timing down. And not a lot of guys at 17 have a nasty changeup.
Right.
And so your timing's, you're one or two, you're going to dial it right in. Whereas with the pitching machine, forget it. Like our team has a pitching machine. I refuse to use it. It's fun at the cage with your kids, or not. Maybe you've got sore hands, but it's in terms of being able to hit a real baseball. No, not a good indication.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The timing is very tricky, but we did that, and Jack had it at the 40 miles an hour, and he could hit it quite comfortably. But he found the same thing. He was kind of swinging a lot easier because of the pain when you did not hit it on the barrel.
Sure.
So I kept telling him swing harder, and he would kind of have this sort of three-quarter swing. So he could. It's funny too when the ball's coming in that much harder. He was hitting the ball quite hard with a three-quarter swing because the speed of the ball coming in is doing so much work for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that, and then the other photo stuff that I took, I put a bunch of pictures in the Dropbox because I came across a really interesting setup that we'll talk about in the photo challenge. But right near where my parents live, about 200 meters from their driveway, there's this little spot where you walk, like basically there's like a dead end. They're right near the water, so there's a dead end and it goes down like probably 50 stairs, like rock stairs that have been built into the side of this hill that goes right down to the water. And there's like
water,
you know,
is that ocean or lake?
That is like an inlet to the ocean.
Okay.
So it's not lake, it's inlet to the ocean. Can't remember what the name of the inlet's called, but
Gorge.
Yeah, sure. But it's not sand beach. It's all rock bottom. But someone has erected this swing, which is new to me from the last time we were there, on this big tree. Someone's tied a swing, attached a big rope swing to the bottom of this big tree. And it sits right near the water's edge. So depending on where the tide is, this is a great spot for just, any kids to come up and use the swing. So I did, you'll see in the photo challenge, different times a day. We were there one evening, sort of magic hour, where I took some photos. And then we were there the next day, between 11 and 12 o'clock for the kids. And so took some photos at both times. And just, another example of how much difference you're going to get in your photos depending on time of day. So I still think I got some decent shots. I did a group shot of my kids and my parents near the swing at noon. And I did, one of the kids kind of playing to each other, but it completely changes how you would go about shooting it versus if you shoot at magic hour. You can do completely different things and your results are
vibe, yeah.
So different. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, well, maybe just post the photos and they can sort of speak for themselves. We'll talk about the swing in my photo challenge. So there I'm done. You can now say something.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did I shoot this week? Oh, I had my wife hand the camera off to my wife at the last home game where I didn't play. I wanted a shot of me and my kids because they like to show up wearing the Hawks shirts.
Okay.
So I got a shot of me and my kids, just sort of put my back three quarters to the sunlight because it was, kind of probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon and pretty harsh sunlight. And just said, all right, well, put our faces in shade, kind of use the save move. We're bringing up the shadows to turn this into something acceptable.
Right.
So fired that off. A little photo bomb by Jose in the background. Didn't see
that. I didn't even notice that until you just said that.
Yeah. So, and then later after the game, there was a spirited round of Fungo Golf, which I did not participate in. Again, on your orders, don't mess up the knee.
Yeah.
And so this is just that. This was going to be my summer photo for the photo challenge, but ultimately I didn't think it was as good as the one I chose. And this is just kind of, you know, sort of what goes on after a baseball game.
Okay.
And so Fungo Golf is essentially what you think it is. Fungo is a long bat you use to hit ground balls and fly balls. You don't use it in a game.
Okay.
Or it would just shatter, but you get a lot of leverage out of it, going back to Joe's question. And that's what you use to hit ground balls. So these guys are just basically playing the golf version of that around the field over a few beers after the game.
Gotcha.
Shot that, and kind of wanted that low sort of sunlight feel with the lens flare. And then the other one, what's the other one that I shot? Oh, it's a shot of my kids with a negative space, which I think I posted on the Facebook earlier in the week. But I'm shooting a wedding tomorrow, and so we went last Sunday, my wife and I, and took the kids and just drove around and scouted the locations of the wedding just so I can get an idea ahead of time of where we're going to shoot. And my wife, it was her idea, actually. Just, you know, she suggested we all go, and she said, well, you know, if we go at, you know, go right at noon, because the wedding's, of course, at 11:30, and I'll be shooting the bulk of the photos right at, you know, noon 30.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure to go right around that time to see what the light's going to look like. And it's this really, really old, small little chapel, which is actually surrounded by an old cemetery, which is an odd choice, but it's kind of how it is here in Europe. And while we're looking around, we're looking for an alternative in case it rains tomorrow, which it's not supposed to. We want to find a covered area, and they have this sort of near the one of the buildings. You know, on the one side is a bunch of plaques of like camera left is a bunch of plaques of people who have passed away.
Yeah.
But on this one side is all undercover, and it's a bench. And my daughter has said, you know, hey, we'll go sit over there. You take our picture, okay, Dad? And at first I thought, it's just kind of fine. I'll humor her. But then when I looked at it, I said, wow, you have this giant wall, all this negative space. And so it became this photo, and I really like this photo. And now, because of her, I will retake this photo with the bride and groom tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it's this nice open, on the one side is all open, and so it's just essentially like window light kind of coming in from the camera right.
Yeah.
And so I can thank my daughter for that suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I one recommendation I would make is just a little bit more room at the bottom, just a little.
It's ugly down there, though.
Oh, I see.
I would have to digitally extend that. As it was, there was two cleats on the wall that are essentially holding the bench up, or partly, I guess, helping support the bench.
Okay.
That I photoshopped out because they were ugly, and just like a millimeter below the frame, it just turns ugly. I think it's a little, I forget now, but I'll know tomorrow.
Okay.
A little bit of weeds, and like the stones weren't a good choice that they chose.
Okay.
So I hear you. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, that's it. Now, I do like the negative space in this. It works, but yeah, that was my only critique.
I might digitally extend it. We'll see.
Yeah, so, and if you can, just even like, you know, just a little bit. And I guess it also depends on how you're going to position the bride and the groom, right?
Yeah, we'll find out. They're yeah, it's going to be a little different than having a 3 and a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm. You have a little bit more ability to pose them.
True. Yeah. True. So. All right, photo challenge this week is our monthly challenge for July. It's summer part 2, and so we actually had a few. How do we have 14 submissions this month?
Wow,
I know, it's overwhelming. I couldn't handle the
that is the overwhelming.
Instagram called me and he's like, "Hey, can you slow it down? You're kind of jamming our servers." Yeah, it's like, "Hey, man, sorry. You guys want to? You know, I'll go to Snapchat, I guess."
They're all by one guy though.
Yeah, yeah. His name is A. Schwartzman. Wait, yeah, is that you? Right.
Yeah, that's me.
Is that your alter ego?
Yeah.
So let's go through them real quick here. And starting with Derek sent in the cherries.
I like it.
like the colors, like the red versus the green, and the fact that the red cherries are in that darkness. I don't know if he shot it that way on purpose.
It definitely, that's what makes it for me, is exactly what you just said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, and it could be,
reminds me of Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, me too. Exactly what I thought. No, it reminds me of Diane Lane from The Outsiders.
Okay.
Weird. Okay. definitely great colors, though. Like, that kind of really makes the shot. Next one, Jason Evans, 47. The first, not one of the first 46 Jason Evans. They're not participating. But his is, I'm guessing, a shot on film, because the hashtag is film is not dead.
Okay. Yeah. So,
looks like,
or he just likes to say that. That's the other.
I was going to put hashtag stand by me on this one.
Oh, okay.
Looks a little bit like looking for Ray Brower, which...
Just a little younger, a little bit younger.
A little bit younger, but yeah, I like what's going on here, like the darkness on the one side, the bright leaves in the foreground, and then kind of, you know, leading us off to the kids in the center against the... Like, and they're dark versus the light background, yet not in full silhouette. I think that really makes the image.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you know, this is one of those images that's really, really close. Like, I'm not going to say that it's there yet. Like, I think mm-hmm. that the position of the kids is just not quite right. Like, I don't like just the different positions that they're in. It's a very close. I would have probably shot. If I saw this happening, I probably would have shot about 60 of these, because they seem like...
Not with film, you wouldn't.
No. I know. I'm just saying, in a digital world, I would have basically... In how I would have gone about this is I would have just watched. I wouldn't have interjected at all, and I would have shot about 60, hoping that they'd hit the right silhouette pose, because you're not going to authentically be able to pose them. And they're I'm guessing mm-hmm. maybe this is a 6 and a 4-year-old or something along those lines. So you got to be a little bit lucky here, because really the silhouette is what would make this a fantastic photo if their positioning is just right. And their positioning,
so what would
just,
you like them to do? Both be facing the same way?
Yes, or both be facing each other so right. that you can see their side profile. But the silhouette, just to me, just it's a very close, but just not quite. Everything else in the background, I mean, you could tinker with the highlights are blown a little bit. But then again, it's film, so you're gonna basically, I don't know how he's gonna meet her for this. He's gonna, you probably could tell me better, but little bit overexposed, a little bit too much. To me, there's a lot of highlights in the, or sorry, shadow detail that I don't need here. So, sure. Yeah. So to me, the exposure, again, not being a film person, isn't quite right. But it would be saved 100% by if the position of the kids was right. And it just isn't right to me. So there's okay. my feedback. Jason, you can disagree with me all you want. It doesn't matter. I'm not going
to. I'm meant to be constructive. Offended.
Yeah, it's meant to be constructive, and I think that's the point. And do you agree with any of my feedback? Do you disagree?
I wasn't listening.
Okay, all right. Moving on then.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. And it could come in the thing with film is it comes, you know, there's a lot to do with the scanning process and how much the shadow details you. It's really far more complicated than you'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ins and outs and what have yous involved. So. Okay. I appreciate that.
Maybe,
all right, the next,
maybe film should be dead is what I'm saying, Jason.
Film, kill film. No, don't do it. Okay, Gustav Siren, he's next. Am I pronouncing that right? I don't know.
Sure.
We have a kayak.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, like it. I like anything on the water. I like the nice tones in the sky.
So where do you think the photographer's standing here? Are they in another boat or what?
I'm assuming they're in another boat.
Yeah, or the shore's really close.
Right. That could be disingenuous, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one as well. Again, my only criticism or feedback with this is I don't like the fact that their head is in line with the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, with...
Up or down.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go one way or the other. You want that separation with either the water, or if you could get lower, I think that's even better, be more powerful from a lower angle. But again, silhouettes are rough, and I shot a bunch of silhouettes for my photo challenge, and I can tell you, it's this shooting silhouettes is very, very tough.
Yes.
So I like everything that's going on, but I'd probably think a little bit of a lower perspective would add something to this.
Agreed. In fact, okay. It's going to come up in a that's my constructive criticism of a later photo, believe it or not. It's just the one when we get there, so you know I'm not copying you.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Next one is Renee's brother,
JC.
Yeah, Mr. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Love this. I bubbles in the summer. That's like hard to go wrong with that with kids and their expressions.
Yeah, this is great. This is exactly, you know, I think what we're after as, you know, serious hobbyists or professional photographers is just capturing great moments. And this is one for the wall. Really like this one as well.
Yeah, not much to say. Constructive.
No,
about this.
I hope good. For photos like this when I'm taking family pictures.
Yes, well, of your family though. Otherwise, it's awkward.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one we got Robertson Photography. He sent us the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Also love it. He points out he wish, you know, I guess Instagram cropped the top of the bridge off. I hear you. That's kind of something we deal with Instagram. I try to make sure our photos are sized before they go to Instagram because they right. kind of want them to be square. They'll allow them to not be square, but only so far in terms of up and down in the portrait orientation. They don't like landscape. You can pretty much go nuts, but portrait they crop it off, and so yeah. once in a while that happens.
And I like this photo as well. The only thing for me in this one is just the sky is blah, you know, right. like. It's a perfectly good photo, but if you got a nice clear sky, or maybe some more dramatic clouds, like the clouds and the sky just kind of bleed into sort of gray, right?
This is you bringing your A game, by the way.
Well, I think the point of this is constructive, and if we just mm-hmm. again do what everyone does on Instagram or Facebook Whee! Or any of these, yeah, and just say yeah, it's great. Well, then how does anyone get better? And I think you can look at this photo and say, yeah, it's really nice. I like the composition. I like the bridge. I'm okay with the top of it being cropped. My brain can do the math on this one. And I like the boat and, you know, again, the textures and the rocks and everything. The sky hurts this. Like, that, it just, yeah, do this on a nice day and you're going to get a photo that's a postcard. Like, I like the photo. I'm not buying the postcard, but with a nice dramatic sky or just a nice crisp blue sky, this is a,
you're
this
gonna
is a
steal
great
the postcard.
So exactly. It's a great photo, with the sky. Yeah.
All right. That leads us into the water slide one, but Link Shoots.
Love it.
Okay. But however.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this is something that I deal with a lot. I shoot a lot of pictures of my kids, well, not recently, but a lot of pictures of my kids at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And white balance is wildly difficult.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a pass on that. The white balance isn't right, but I'm just looking at everything else. I'd probably make this a black and white is what I would have done because I love everything going on. I love the way the water is. I love the kids' expression. There's just enough.
There's two kids, right?
What?
I thought there was, oh, that's his arms. I thought there was a second kid behind him.
Oh, maybe. No.
No, no. Yeah, no, is not. There? Now that you pointed out, no, I'm wrong.
That's just the
I'm
way wrong. The suit goes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I
yeah,
hope the there's not another kid behind there.
That looks like his shoulder. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, now I'm confused. Maybe there is another kid.
Now I love the picture even more.
It's a great expression, and there's just enough of the slide, but the little bit of background behind this, like the green trees and that, like you don't need it to be in color this photo at all.
No.
I think like you say, you can get rid of a lot of the white balance issues here by just making this black and white.
What I'm looking at in terms of on my screen anyway could vary, but it's looking a little bit overexposed on my screen, especially compared to the other photos that were.
Oh no, it doesn't look overexposed, but it does look very like blue in tone.
Yes, and that's pretty standard with skin tones. Your camera gets kind of fooled. You know, even if you dial it in later, it's really hard to get solid skin tones at the pool. Like the situation, like that's what I find a lot of because of that sort of bluey reflection off the water. It's just it makes the skin look a little bit sickly. And also the rest of it, like you can see it in the rest of the image. It's a little bit off. Again, not your fault. Really hard to deal with because if once you dial it right back in, and you know maybe you crank it up to like 6500K or something like that, and the skin tone's like nice, everything else kind of turns way too yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of you're kind of stuck there. unless you're Adam and go black and white.
That's right.
All right. Derek had a second post. He's the first one, right? Correct. So this one is I think it's I think this one is tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Because
I hope so.
Yeah. So summer in London, and it's overcast and lousy.
Right.
So, you know,
it's a snapshot. There's not much like, come on, Derek. Like, you know.
Like, no, I think really? I get the joke though. I get the joke. He's taking the piss, as they say, in the Monty Python.
Okay. All right.
So. Yeah, we are checking out that gorgeous sky.
Yeah.
Then JB Photography sent an iPhone photo, which looks really good looking, especially for an iPhone.
Yeah.
Of a bird with a tree growing out of its head.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this I just is noticed.
But it's a nice sky.
It is. This is all. I'd like to be there right now.
Yeah.
Not as many forest fires, evidently. So, no, definitely a good snap, you know, probably out. Oh, you said during breakfast. I was going to say, this is probably out, you're sitting having breakfast, and this guy pops in, and you make the most of it, so.
And it's the iPhone 6S, which I guess one of the claims is about how you can, you know, achieve sort of an out-of-focus background. So you're seeing it in this photo, but it just doesn't quite out-focus. Like,
well, I don't think this is portrait. This isn't depth of field mode or whatever that's called.
My brain is saying it's something that's not quite right. Like, it just, the way it goes out of focus isn't right, is it? I don't know.
I can't tell.
I just the way it goes, and because we're kind of getting the way the trees go out, it's not the way the DSLR would go to focus. And then when you look at, you know, is it a little lighthouse or monument along that little, like, that should be way more out of focus relative to the tree. My brain is saying something isn't right here. As far as right. How it's going out of focus,
I
but again,
that's a branch hanging down next to the bird's mouth. You're talking,
yeah, whatever that is.
A branch hanging down. Looks like to me.
Oh, okay, all right,
yeah,
all right. I'm all confused right. by how the iPhone does this, but it doesn't look right to me.
All right, but he submitted a second one of obviously a much much better photo, I think, of Big Sur.
Oh, that's a great photo.
That's a great one. I really like what's going on. And I've always, nobody ever looks at Big Sur and says, I don't want to live here.
Yeah.
Forget it. Like this is some of my favorite. Like this is up north by just past San Francisco, right?
I've never been, but I believe that's where it is. Yeah.
I've been a long time ago. Is it between San Francisco? I have to Google it now. But I know where it is on that sort of northern coast. Love it. I really love that whole area. All the way down, like from southern Washington through Oregon, the whole coastline all the way down. Big fan. What am I doing living here? I should be living there.
And I wish I had photos that were this good of any landscape. This is better than any landscape photo I've ever taken, so mm-hmm. I can offer no criticism whatsoever. I just like everything that's going on there. I like the movement of the water. I like the sky and the gradient that's there going kind of from the orangey sort of reddish pinkish hues into the nice blue, and you know the sort of golden light on the mountains. There's just so much that's good about this, and my tendency if I was going to take this photo would probably to be to shoot it much wider than this, because again, my brain can't figure out what to do when there isn't a person or an anchor in the frame.
Include and so everything.
Oh, I know. And so when I see this, I'm like, yeah, this really works. I don't think I would have seen it this way through my lens though, so I appreciate these photos, and I think that, you know, it's a good learning tool for us as well. It's like, this works, this composition works. Yeah,
agreed.
There you go.
Next one is from Roger Dahlman. That okay. One, I love this one.
Well, this is like a photo that you would take of a firework exploding. You love this sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the sparklers and the kids, but yeah. after last New Year's, though, when there's a little bit of an incident, involving my kids in that they were not the ones who threw the fireworks, but they were almost the ones who caught it.
And,
they were the ones who almost caught it. So I'm going to tone it down a little bit, but not in this case. This case is awesome. I mean, I really like what's going on. Like the kids seem to be, I don't know if they're having fun or just amazed that their dad's letting them do this. But good for them. It's good times.
I can't put myself here. Like I can't do it. Like I could not do this. I could not hand my kids a. I'm too much of a warrior. I'm too much of a warrior. Yeah, I'm a warrior. They would grab the firework. I couldn't do it. So I really like the photo. I will never be able to get this photo because I'm just a warrior.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have good looking kids. So even if they suffer serious burns, they'll still be like they'll be good looking burn kids. Like you're getting a pretty good head start.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
These are good-looking kids, so they should be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen though. If it happens, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put a whammy out there.
Yeah. It is a very cool-looking photo though, and I do
and
like
unique
the,
nowadays. I think.
Well, and the light. I mean, they're getting light from the fireworks, so it's just a nice mix of that warm kind of light coming off of the massive explosive. Onto yes. their faces. You don't say that. You don't say that very often, right? They're getting getting a nice mix of that warm, explosive light mixed
well, this
with
is
kind
shot
of a
at
cool,
the right
cool
time.
Temperature. What's that?
This is shot at the right time of day.
Yeah, this is kind of probably blue hour, right?
I'm gonna say before then. It looks like to me hard to say because, yeah, the exposures and obviously the sparkler's overexposed, but not crazy over. Like, not blown right out, and that's ruining the rest of the photo. So if it was at blue hour, I think the background would be much darker, I think.
Okay. And again, it's really close to that, in my opinion, because the light coming off that firework is really registering in the frame, like, in
it's
terms
enough,
of a balance.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's got to be relatively dark for that to be the case. I don't know. That's the math.
I'm
going
to go ahead and
doing.
Guess. I'm going to say on the 4th of July... which is pretty close to the longest day of the year, two weeks later, in Virginia, which is kind of Oregon-y, southern Oregon-y. I'm not sure exactly the latitude. I'm going to try to guess the time, see if I can guess what time this was taken.
We're waiting.
7 p.m. This is 7 p.m.
No, it's just later. Oh, we need Roger to answer this.
You're in the south, though. Yeah, I'm telling you, Roger, tell us what time this was taken. Yeah, but you remember, you're... further south than in the Vancouver, and so Vancouver at 7, there's no way. This is way, it's way too light, but it gets darker sooner down south.
Okay, Roger, please answer. I can't do the math in my head, but
I'm
saying...
gonna do over under 15 minutes over under, guessing that this was maybe. Well, yeah, give me 15 minutes over under. I'm gonna say 7 p.m.
Okay, I'm taking the over.
I love if it's noon. I got to quit the show. You're out. All right. So Paul Henman sent one in that this one just screams Canada to me.
Yeah.
But more so. But even though we have this out west, this screams east, like sort of Ontario, Lake Country to me.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, this is the cover of a Tragically Hip album.
Yeah, it's very sort of subdued, right?
It is.
Like, this is kind of like what you... I mean, most people, myself included, see this picture. Like, if you're at someone's friend's cabin for a week, you're going to see this picture probably 5 out of 7 days in a week.
Right.
And most people aren't going to take that photo because it's nothing spectacular. The sky is okay, the surroundings, but that's what it looks like, which is why I like this. Now, I probably make the mistake of never capturing this image because I'm waiting for the paranormal to exist, like just to
right.
something ridiculous to happen where it's so amazing that I either get a shot or I just don't get anything. I either get that really cool looking purple pink sunset and or I just don't even bother to take a photo, which I'm generally sad that I don't take the photo because I like having photos like this, but I just don't ever seem to take them.
Yes, but look at this and forget how it looks. This is how the evening at the lake feels.
Well, that yeah exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it. I don't capture it.
Ah, but see, now you can feel it the rest of the year when you've gone home. However, now this is the one. This is the one I like almost everything that's going on here. The horizon of the lake, if you want to call it that, is right dead center of the image, and that breaks all the rules. And I don't care. That's never been a thing for me. I have no problem with that. Reflections are nice. The symmetry, I like all that. This is the one where I would like a couple of millimeters of headroom on the subject to keep him in the lake so that we can basically just separate him from the far shoreline.
I agree. Yeah.
That's it.
That's
really perfect. Nitpicking.
Yeah, but it makes a difference. It really does make a difference. And so
it does.
Yeah, I agree. That angle you need to be a little bit higher, or at least your camera does, to get that separation. So, no, I think that's very reasonable criticism. It makes a better photo.
All right, next one, Doofus Photography. He sent two. He posted two. So here's the first one of the kid playing up the stairs. Totally fine. Blown up the background. It's a decent snapshot. It reminds me of, you know, when my kids were that age in summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I probably would crop this one closer. Like the chair, the kid in the background, a lot of the overblown sky just doesn't need to be there. Like the subject of this image is clearly the kid in the toy, so make it more about the kid in the toy and just, yeah. Is that what you would have done? Just crop this much tighter?
I would have been way tighter on this one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. So then the second one is looks like tired, it says hashtag tired grandpa. Playing in the backyard. This is great. Again, this is in your snapshot. It's a great snapshot in that territory. This is an art like the lake shot we just saw, but it's in its own right is really great. And also the lawn is nice.
Yeah, that is
no
a nice
clover.
Lawn. Yeah.
So you know, as I mentioned before, I planted grass for the first time in my life out in our front yard. And it's going quite well. And I found out that, you know, if you want to keep the clover at bay. You leave the grass, let the grass grow a little bit longer, and it chokes out the clover. And maybe that's what he's done here. Either way, the turf management is amazing.
Great,
it looks like freshly cut. The
well,
lines
yeah,
going
you got
there.
The lines. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. This is just cut.
And also just a great moment of all the kids playing with Grandpa.
Agreed.
All right, last one. That's Tom Tatarka. Ironically, he's a guy who went paddling past in Paul Henman's shot.
Really?
No. I was Tom Thompson.
Okay.
No?
I don't know.
It's a song by the Hip.
Yeah,
anyways,
I knew it was the Hip, but I
this is
don't.
A slice of summer. This is Best of Montana, he says. Never been to Montana, but I've seen you know, Big Sky before.
Sure.
And that's what they're known for. Nice close up with everything out of focus in the back. You get a real sense of the serenity of Montana.
Yeah. And really great rim light. Like this is, you know, on the subject, you've got just fantastic sort of rim light that highlights exactly, you know, moves your eye towards that part of the image. So
yes. It's taken at the exact right time of day.
Yep. Yeah, this is a very good time to shoot for sure.
All right, thanks to everybody who submitted this month, and we appreciated it.
And hopefully, the point of this episode is, you know, obviously those who participate, you know, are gonna gain the most because they're going through the practice of taking the photo. But hopefully, I mean, anybody who's listening, you know, gains a little bit from looking at the photos and sort of understanding our critique, maybe agrees with us, maybe disagrees, but just looks at their own photos in a different way, right? Like about, okay,
sure.
Well, where are you going to crop? And okay, do I make some of these mistakes? Cause I think we all do. I mean, these are all mistakes that, you know, I know I make on a regular basis. So I'm starting to recognize them in other people's photos and therefore, hopefully I make less of those mistakes in the future, or that's the idea at least, right?
I concur.
Yeah.
So let's get into ours.
Waste. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into ours.
So I only have the ones. Let's knock mine out of the way first because you have 9 or 10 you've submitted.
No, I don't have that.
No, you have one with two alternates. But all right. So here's mine. As I mentioned, was going to be the Fungo Golf, sort of as a placeholder. I wasn't thrilled with it for the monthly challenge. But I managed to convince my daughter to go for a nice evening walk. And, here's the thing is I actually found it hard again. We, this is our second time around and I shot mine the night before. Like I'm the worst student of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Just studying. Oh, I'll cram on the bus on the way to school. But that wasn't the case. What I find is essentially we spend most of our like the good weather days, which, you know, we have a lot, we spend at the pool. And I'm kind of don't really feel like posting more pictures of my kids at the pool.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and so that's why I found it really difficult, because a lot of the stuff, we don't have a rope swing over the inlet, you know? And so, but we do like to go for walks, and although at this time I had to promise her a popsicle when we were done, but her and I went for a nice little walk in the evening and came up with this.
And I like it. I have one key problem with this photo.
Probably the same problem I have.
It doesn't feel authentic.
Really?
Yeah, it just doesn't feel authentic to me at all. Like, it seems too... I mean, it's... everything, her pose, the little flowers, it just seems too placed. Like, it just doesn't seem like this is your daughter 99.9% of the time. Like, not in any way you've described her. I mean, I haven't seen her now for 2 years-ish, but it just doesn't feel... they're an authentic photo. I love the background. I love so what the light's doing.
I should take
doing.
A photo of her slamming her door, yelling, "I hate you, Daddy."
Yeah, yeah, something like that. It's just, or
summer.
Or even just a quirky, like, she has kind of a quirky little smile in a lot of her photos, but the looking off to the distance with the flowers and the way her arms are posed, like the light, everything is fantastic about this image, except for it just doesn't feel authentic to me.
She didn't know I was there.
Real, no, there's no way.
No, there's no way. No, no, no.
There's no way. No. Like, why? And again, I think maybe if you ditch the flowers and her arms aren't clasped, and like, no kid stands like this and
true.
Just longingly looks off into the distance. Like, it just doesn't. What's she looking at? Like, all this seems like, yeah, my dad's a photographer. That's what this image screams to me. Like, you know, you'll never see a photo like this just taken in anybody's house. And if you saw it, you'd say, like, yeah, who's the photographer that did that? Like, it's just, it seems like a photographer pushed image, but I don't know. Otherwise, I love everything. I love just the right amount of outfocus. I love the composition.
Oh, see,
and
I don't
the
like
colors.
The focus. It's the depth of field is too shallow.
No,
that's
I like
my
it.
Rip.
What's behind
is very nice.
Yeah, but I still think that it's good and it draws attention. I mean, you know enough of where that is, and so no, that's not it at all. So to me, it's just the fact that it just feels too posed.
Okay.
All right. That's it.
It is posed. It is posed. Again, a lot of what, like, the sort of unposed shots, and we'll have some. September will be much better for that, August will be much better for that. Because we're going to go on vacation or whatever, but I don't find myself. Maybe it's the kid's age. I'm not trying to make excuses here, but I don't find myself in those situations where we can take these kinds of nice summery pictures that are casual.
Right.
Like right now, it seemed much easier 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when my kids were a certain age. Now it's just not possible, and maybe they're too self-aware or. We just do different things, or maybe we're not out at the lake, we're not, you know, and so, yeah. Anyways, I end up liking this picture. I like the colors. The blue sky was a complete cheat because it's essentially gray. It's a gray sky. Like, just as we went out there, the sun sort of peeked through, and that was nice, but the sky was just this kind of haze, and just... you made your favorite photo even worse, and so ultimately I had to go in and I couldn't even use our tip from last week or a couple of weeks ago with the fake polarizer, because there was no blue to blue.
Okay.
And so I had to go in and basically just quickly add a graduated filter in Lightroom.
Yeah.
Which I then cranked on the graduated filter itself, I cranked the white balance way towards the blue, and that turned the gray sky blue, where I could then manipulate the saturation and luminance enough to get a really nice looking sky.
Gotcha.
So that was a big save.
Looks great, and I would have never known. So you fooled me. Yeah.
That's the big takeaway. Other takeaway is that you know, posing aside, it's taken at the exact right time of day. You're gonna get great light at this time of day.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely go shoot out there. My only criticism, I wish I'd shot at like an F11 or an F8, because the village in behind is pretty cool. It's pretty nice looking. We should see a little bit more of it.
Okay.
All right, let's look at your massive failure. Oh, swing. Seen it. No, it's a good shot. You posted three, and so I feel like the answer to this week was two. You should have been, I mean, three, they're all good.
Yeah, I liked all of them. My wife liked the, again, I told her, okay, here's three photos. Mm-hmm. The challenge is summer. Which to you, because I like all three of them, feels most summery to you? And of course, as the mother, the happy, actiony, smiley, you know, there's I understood why she picked the one that I'm going with here, but mm-hmm. I agree with you.
The
well lit one. And I'm using, you know, this is magic hour, so clearly you see that I was here probably for 30 minutes as I pushed my daughter on the swing. I just had the RX100 camera, so I'd push her, and then as she's swinging and having fun, I would go take photos from different angles, because I really in my mind conjured the silhouette is what I wanted. This kind of, as I walked down to the beach, like I was just going down by myself originally to take photos of the sunset, and I thought, oh, I'm going to take a summer photo doing something different than I normally do, which is just shoot a landscape without you know, having any, you know, people in it whatsoever. And then my daughter said, oh, I want to go with you. And she knew there was a swing there because her last trip down to this spot, she'd been on the swing, and she was, you know, I hadn't been to Victoria that time. The kids went on their own. And so once I saw it, I was like, oh, I get why you wanted to come down. And so she wanted to play. And then I just looked and said, okay, well, this should be easy. I've got just a beautiful surrounding, and I'm going to shoot a silhouette. So I went and made the silhouette, and then I came back and I shot, you know, the falling light or the golden hour shot of her. And then just as the sun went completely down, then I shot sort of the other one, which was just kind of like, I don't know, it's just a peaceful kind of shot, square crop that one. And I looked at three of them and I thought, I like all three of these. It's right. A rare situation where, I mean, the light is all used very differently. They're all done at, you know, very close to the same time. And another reason why, just go out and shoot at this time, and you're going to have, you know, you're going to have shots to choose from. It's the light's that good, right?
Yeah. Now, see, the one thing, I understand your wife's choice, because, you know, she wants to see your daughter's smiling face, and it's great action shot, even though she seems to have lost some footwear.
Yeah,
kept some footwear, I don't know.
Yeah, she got one on one. She's kicked one of them off, yeah.
Yeah. The one issue here is, I guess, with the RX100 is you don't get the depth of field. With the smaller sensor generally means you're going to get more in focus. And so
yes,
the separation between your daughter's face and arms and the leaves in behind isn't wonderful.
Yeah, this is also, I think, I don't know what the, like, this is pretty wide too.
Sure.
Like I'm pretty close and pretty wide, so that's often, you know, that's going to, especially on one of these cameras, really going to increase the depth of field.
Yes, and so in that situation, but I mean, it's all about the action and the water, you know, splashing and the smile on her face. So in that respect, you know, technically, sure, I'd like to see more separation, but it's not really about that. Then your alternate one is with the sun still up,
mm-hmm.
And this is the one I thought you could have left out. I mean, it's nice, obviously a nice picture, and if this was the one you submitted, I'd have no issue with it. But comparing it to the other two, this comes in third for me.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. I wanted to show it because, again, it's just how you can play with that light at different times. And so I like what the sun, just as it's going down, does to the water. I like the, you know, she's right over the water, so the tides come way in. So she's going back and forth. And like you see in the one photo where she's splashing, I like the, you know, the backlit water droplets as they're coming off the swing. Mm-hmm. And I have some where it's much more pronounced than this. This is, you know, you see the water dripping from the back of the swing and then from her feet. I like what the sun at this time does to the sort of ringlet of hair that's coming down in front of her face. Like it gives a nice rim light to that hair. You get some hair light on the back of her hair. So versus, I really wanted to just show that to sort of line it up with what happens when the sun just goes completely away, which was probably my favorite photo. But again, silhouettes are so hard. Like there's the ropes from the swing, which is tied to the tree overhead, and then she's swinging back and forth. So I probably took 50 shots as she's swinging back and forth, because I was never at any point interjecting, hey, tip your head forward, tip your head back. Like, I was trying to have it be authentic. But if her face isn't perfectly aligned, you don't see the silhouette of her. You see a silhouette of a child swinging, sure. But I wanted it to be more her silhouette. So I had to take so many photos in order to get it so that it just happens to be her face is forward enough and the angle's just right that, to me, like, this is an unmistakable silhouette of her versus just a kid on a swing, right?
Actually, if I saw this and didn't know, I'd say, hey, that looks like your daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was so kind of the game. But that's not easy for the guy who is, you know, I critiqued about his, you know, the silhouette not being right. Well, that's what happens when you shoot silhouettes, is mm-hmm. that it's very difficult to make it look like the person in an authentic setting like this. Your angle has to be right. And like I say, as soon as you introduce other variables, like the ropes get in the way, and they really mess with the silhouette depending on the angle they're at, or their arm gets in the way. Like, there's so many difficulties with shooting a child silhouette and getting it the way you want it in your head is a challenge, to say the least.
I think the lesson is never try.
Never try, or shoot 50, stay out of the way, and then when you get home, hope for the best. So I had a couple of usable ones, and those are the ones that I posted. But I like the square crop the best. My challenge entry, I stand by it as my summer photo, because I do think with the summer theme, it says a little more summer to me than the swing.
Okay. And then meanwhile, the album cover this month is a silhouette.
Okay. So.
Okay. You chose. You chose too.
Yeah.
You picked it out of the two I posted. All right. Challenge for next month, for August, is The Great Outdoors.
Okay.
I'm guessing you're going to be outside. I'm going to be outside. Judging by everyone else's photos that are submitted, they all go outside. Wherever you live, there's an outside.
Sure.
So that is The Great Outdoors. So if you can shoot a shot of John Candy and Dan Aykroyd, #1988.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a good show.
Hilarious. Good times. yeah, that's it. Remember to put it on Instagram, #hashtag it with the two hoser, or with two hosers monthly challenge.
And what's the weekly challenge?
Deep focus.
Okay.
So there we go. You get two challenges issued. All in one.
Okay.
Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.